Europe's not the only place, of course, wrestling with immigration. There's a big debate in this country about who should be allowed in and how many. But the attitude toward immigrants in the United States and Europe differs in significant ways, not to mention the different benefits each side of the Atlantic offers new arrivals. Nancy Foner is a sociologist at the City University of New York. She's the co-author of Strangers No More. It compares the challenges faced by low-income immigrants in Europe and the United States.
The U.S. sees immigrants as Americans in the making and expects them, and it's okay to hold on to your ethnic identity as long as these are additions to a fundamental American core. The U.S. accepts and even expects hyphenated identities. Many long-established Americans also think of themselves as hyphenated Americans, as Irish Americans or Italian Americans. And in many European countries, it's more difficult. The immigrants and their children may say, feel French, feel German, but often the Germans and French don't recognize them that way. And the Dutch even have a special category for non-Western Europe immigrants. They call them allochthones, which means that they're not people of the soil. And this is applied to non-Western immigrants and their children, even when they've been born in the Netherlands.
I mean, despite those hyphenated identities, immigrants to this country, immigrants to Europe, still feel alienated at times. What are the different pressure points in the U.S. and Europe where that alienation starts to set in for immigrants?
I think one of the big differences is in Europe, religion, Islam in particular, is a major barrier for immigrants. And there's a big focus on the threat to Muslims undermining core values, core democratic values in Europe. Of course, there are the worries about security threats, which have become even more heightened recently, right, in light of the Paris attacks. But this is on top of a longstanding fear that Muslim immigrants are threatening values like freedom of speech, gender equality, that they're going to ruin and overturn key values in European societies. That's a very strong threat in European societies. And although, of course, in the U.S., there's a lot of anti-Muslim hostility, I don't want to minimize that.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, don't you see that fear setting in?
Yes, and if certainly we see it in the Republican primaries that certain candidates are bringing that out. To the extent that there is anti-Muslim sentiment, a lot of it is focused on external security threats. And there are a number of reasons why that's true. One is that Muslims in the United States are a very tiny proportion of immigrants. They're about 4% of all immigrants in the U.S. are Muslim. If you look at European societies, 40% of immigrants from outside the European Union are Muslim. In the U.S., religion is more accepted. The U.S. is a more religious society. Western European societies have become very secular. Despite Western European secular societies, they have very deeply ingrained and almost exclusively Christian religious identities, so that the institutional context in many European societies continues to favor Christianity in many ways and to marginalize Islam.
When we talk about integration and making it in a new home country, who does better financially, low-income immigrants in Western Europe or the United States?
Poverty rates are higher among immigrants in the U.S. It's a kind of anomaly because there's higher labor force participation rates. Immigrants and their children are overwhelmingly working, but their poverty rates are higher.
I mean, some of what you're saying, Nancy, is expected. Some of it's counterintuitive. What people did you meet whose story surprised you?
Perhaps one thing that comes out that's surprising is that in the European context, there's a great deal of concern and worry about parallel societies, concern that immigrants are, as one person in Britain talks about, that they're sleepwalking to segregation. But in fact, rates of residential segregation are actually higher in the United States, particularly among Black immigrants, than we find in Europe, even for Muslim immigrants. One interesting thing, and something that I've done in the past as well as in this book, is to look and compare Afro-Caribbeans, who are very numerous in the Netherlands, in Britain, and France, and in the United States. And clearly, the rates of racial segregation for Afro-Caribbeans in those European countries much lower than what we find among Afro-Caribbeans in the United States. And the rates of intermarriage among Afro-Caribbeans and whites in these three European countries are very high, in some cases over 50%.
Doesn't that tell us something important about integration?
Well, it tells us that Black immigrants are having an easier time integrating, I would say, in many ways in Europe than in the U.S. And of course, European societies, they did not have slavery on their native soil the way the United States did. And so the United States has this very sordid history of racial inequality, and it affects black immigrants who come here who are growing in numbers. There are 1 out of 10 immigrants.
So it's kind of hard to generalize about Europe right now, given the just huge flow of migrants this past year. But do you see integration getting harder for immigrants?
I think the pessimism in Europe is really a lot about Muslim immigrants and their children. You know, an unknown question is how will the massive immigration of refugees, how that is going to affect their societies. We don't really know yet.
Nancy Foner, professor of sociology at the City University of New York and co-author of the book Strangers No More. Thank you very much, Nancy.
Thank you, and it's a pleasure to be here.